I was reflecting on 2018, and it seemed like a rough year just all around our country. It seemed like there was a lot of negative things going on. I know some of you were going through struggles in your lives, and I know that we had some struggles in ours at times, but there were also some very good things that took place in 2018. And so whether 2018 was a horrible year for you, whether there were bumps in the road, I want to tell you that 2019 doesn't have to be that way. Too many times we look at our past and we say that's going to be our future. And that's not the case. It doesn't have to be your future. I see people that go in these cycles and they never get out of that cycle. They repeat and repeat and repeat. And so every year they're not looking forward to what's new. They're not looking forward to the future. They're looking at the past the entire time. And their life seems to be stuck there. They seem to be in doom and gloom. What I want to share with you today is that we can actually leave that past behind us. And we can move into a new year filled with peace, filled with joy, filled with purpose and blessings. Wouldn't you want that? Doesn't that look like a much better year to think about than a horrible 2018 being your future? Ephesians 3:20, it tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. I want us to turn today to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 today.
Did you say 3?
Yep, Ephesians chapter 3.
Ooh, a lot of stuff highlighted here.
So in the book of Ephesians, it is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And keep in mind that the church here that we're talking about is not a building, okay? The churches that we reference in the New Testament are not buildings, they're actual people. So he's referring to the believers in Ephesus, to all the believers. And it was to all the believers in this city that he was writing to. And the purpose of Paul's letter was to stress the Christian's spiritual blessings in Christ, and the need to live a lifestyle that reflects those blessings. He's informing his church that every blessing that we have is from Christ. And they must learn to recognize and understand the significance of such blessings. Here in 2019, the same message applies to us. That the fullness of Christ in our lives can be found despite our circumstances. We can make 2019 a year where we all grow spiritually, where we all find strength in Christ, and where we can find peace regardless of our circumstances. Wouldn't you like that? We need to learn to be secure and confident in God's love. And that is what Paul is trying to get across to us in his letter. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, we find that Paul prays a prayer for the church in Ephesus. It is a prayer that we should all take to heart and reflect on in order to find the fullness of Christ in our own lives. Let's take a look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And I'm going to read this morning. Normally I ask somebody else, but I'm going to read this morning. This is Paul writing. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of this glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measures of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, and it's my prayer for us as a church going into 2019. There are four requests that Paul makes in this prayer that I want us to take a look at this morning. The first one is inner spiritual strength. Paul is praying for inner spiritual strength. This is not self-discipline. It's not making yourself better. It's not the idea of positive thinking. It's not mental renewing. What Paul is talking about here is it is a fundamental work of God from the Spirit to ours. It's the Holy Spirit strengthening our inner being. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with us allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. The second thing that Paul makes a request for here is deep faith. Deep faith. And the faith that Paul is talking about here, deep faith, is not what we call saving faith. It's not about salvation. Keep in mind, he's writing to believers already. Right? So they're saved. They have faith that Christ is their Lord and Savior, and they've been saved. He's talking about a deep faith. Deep faith is about Christ being at home in one's heart. It's one thing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's another thing to make him Lord and Savior in your life. And that's what deep faith is about. There's an author named Robert Munger, and he wrote a little booklet about Christ making his home with us. Robert pictures the Christian life as a house through which Jesus Christ goes through room to room. And in the library, which is the mind, Jesus finds trash and all sorts of worthless things which he proceeds to throw out and replace with his word. In the dining room of appetite, he finds many sinful desires listed on a worldly menu. In the place of such things as prestige and materialism and lust, he puts humility, meekness, love, and all other virtues for which believers are to hunger and thirst. He goes through the living room of fellowship, where he finds many worldly companions and activities. Through the workshop where only toys are being made, into the closet where hidden sins are kept, and so on through the entire house. Only when he had cleaned every room, closet, and corner of sin and foolishness could Christ settle down and be at home. To have Christ dwell in our hearts through faith means for him to be at home in every corner of our life. Because we believe his promises and therefore we become obedient to his word. The third thing that is requested in this prayer of Paul's is abundant love. Paul first gives the qualities needed to be able to receive his prayer, but love must become the dominant quality of the Christian. The dominant quality. It must be the foundation on which all things are set. Such love in our life only comes from God. The Bible tells us that God is love. The fourth thing that Paul requests here is God's fullness. The inner strength of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift from God. It leads to the indwelling of Christ, which leads to abundant love, which leads to God's fullness in us. This fullness means you are satisfied with God. You're not looking to the world to satisfy anything else, that God completely satisfies you. He fills you. The only way this can happen is if we pursue him. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote in chapter 4, verse 8, he said, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." It's a call for us to draw nearer to God. If you want to find that fullness, that's where it comes from. If we pray to be strengthened by his Spirit, Christ will be at home in each room of our heart. If Christ occupies our heart, we will have confidence and security in his love for us. If we have such confidence and security, we are able to love others. We're able to love ourselves. And we're able to recognize God's blessings in our life. The ability to know God's love and love others leads us to the fullness of God. It leads us to understanding his power and his love, his life, and all those things inhabit us. That is the fullness of God. And that is Paul's prayer for each of us. Paul goes on in the last two verses of this chapter with what we call a doxology. And in that, from verses 20 through 21, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That is considered a doxology, and it's a hymn or a liturgical formula that is expressive of praise to God. Paul is writing a doxology here. And there are three things that emerge from this doxology that we need to take to mind. The first one is the sovereignty of God. God, in his sovereignty, can choose to do anything he wills, right? He can do anything. If we believe he is sovereign, he has full control and full power to do what he chooses. What he can do far exceeds anything we can dream or imagine. Think about that for a second. We tend to limit God sometimes, right? We tend to forget that he's all-powerful, that our God is sovereign, he is in control. And he's not a far-off God, he's a God in our lives that loves us and wants a relationship with us. And he can do anything that exceeds our dreams or imaginations. God's sovereignty means that our prayers can be answered far beyond what we could ask or imagine. Why do we limit our prayers? Why don't we pray boldly and ask God to move mountains? The second thing that Paul brings up in this doxology is the omnipotence of God, which is very similar to the sovereignty of God. It means that God has unlimited power. God has unlimited power. God displays his great power in many, many ways. The power we see in creation and in the church is the power of God that works in us and in the love relationship of prayer. The third thing that we see in this doxology here is God's glory. You see, the power of God has been displayed and continues to display itself, and it has purpose. And that purpose is to bring glory to God. God has done things in the church among his people and in Christ Jesus, where his people now abide and where God completed his plan of salvation. As we see and recognize God's work in the church and through Christ, we respond in praise and worship. And that is how we bring glory to God. And so in 2019, I want us to be reminded that we don't have to continue to live the same way we did in 2018. If 2018 was difficult for you, you have the ability to make 2019 very different. Not that your circumstances may be different, but that you can find everything you need in the fullness of Christ. This is the time to start your year off right. This is the time to really spend some time drawing close to God and looking for his direction and his guidance. Figuring out in your life, where am I missing Christ in my life? What areas in my life do I need to let go of and let Christ fill? Because if you want to find fullness in life, you have to find fullness in Christ. The prayer that Paul wrote so eloquently to the Ephesians is my prayer for us today. I want us all to just be filled with God in our lives, to allow him to work in every aspect. It says if we believe him, if we trust him, then his promises are solid. We can trust his promises. And so if there is something that you're holding on to today that's not allowing Christ to fill your life, if you're turning to the world and turning to things to fill those voids, I want to invite you today to let go of that and ask Christ into those areas. If you want a better 2019, I'm telling you, that's the way to find it. This is my prayer for each of us today. My prayer is that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and to know that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in the work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want each of you to do me a favor this week. I know all of us struggle in areas in our life. I know there's things where we say we trust God, but we really don't. It's easy to say, but it's another thing to really reflect on and really turn things over to Christ. Find one area in your life this week. Pray to God. Ask him, Lord, show me in my heart where I need to turn this over to you. Maybe you already know. Maybe God's already revealed that and you're struggling with it. I want to encourage you. Whatever you're holding on to, if it's not Christ, it's pulling you. It's pulling you in the wrong direction. You will be far better off to let go of that, even though you think it's your safety line. It's not. It is Satan trying to draw you away from Christ and trying to keep your house from getting filled. And so I want to ask each of you this week to really reflect on that and allow God to work in that area of your life. Go to him in prayer. Say, God, I can't do this myself. Take this away. And allow him to do it and just trust him with that. And see if God can't do immeasurably more than you can ask for. Amen? All right, let me close this in prayer.